Well, hello. Good to see you, even though I can't. Good to hear you, even though I can't hear you. Good to be with you. How about that? How about that, huh? You want to go with that? Let's go with that. I'm very excited to be here today. We have a great show. I can count the number of times I've said that on one finger.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I do. I do like it. I do.
Whatever.
Sing along. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I like the way I said it. That was pretty cool.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am your host. I'm your host. I'll be your host. I'm your host. Welcome. Welcome. It's so important to me that you're comfortable right now. Not financially, I can't do anything about that. I'm just saying, sit in a chair, why don't you? As I take you through today, the craziness that surrounds us. I got to tell you something. Crap, man. If I could just, there's one action I'd like to perform right now. I'd like to go to Washington, D.C., or open up my home to the quote-unquote president of the United States. I would like to face the man, get really close to his face and his little hands, and I would shake him like a shaken baby syndrome. This would be the shaken president syndrome. I would shake the shakes out of him, and I would say, "What the fuck is the matter with you? Shut your mouth. Take your mouth and shut it. Get some duct tape, put it around your mouth, and never take it off. Just shut your damn mouth. Stand there, look stupid, and shut up. Let other people do stuff. Keep your mouth shut. And your Twitter account, it should be removed for, not only removed, it shouldn't even be near you. You should be somewhere in Siberia with a husky. You should just get out, just leave us alone. You're not able to do anything, you can't do anything, you haven't fulfilled anything you said you were going to do. You're a shyster, you're a snake oil salesman. Now you're actually causing death and destruction around the world with your stupid mouth. Stop insulting people, stop putting them down, stop alienating, stop dividing everybody up, stop trying to instigate a nuclear war, stop talking about your stupid fake news, which you actually do yourself. Just shut the hell up. Stand there with the little pin on your lapel like you're the president and let the people that know what they're doing do what they do. And short of you being removed, just shut the hell up.
Please be quiet. 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 Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
You see, this isn't a joke anymore. This isn't funny. It isn't like boldly fun anymore. When the President of the United States tweets, that North Korea, with our blessings, will cease to exist. North Korea takes that as a declaration of war. What you're doing is, you're dealing with a little two-year-old child, and you're acting like a two-year-old child. Stuff's going to happen. Those kids are going to start fighting. The situation was bad enough before this Trump guy got into office. Now he is making it incredibly worse. And whether you voted for this guy or not, you must feel that he should really kind of just shut up. Don't tweet anymore. Your tweeting is stupid. I'm going to give you an example of something which really is frosting my cakes today. Can you tell that my cakes are frosted? I have frosted cakes. Very tasty, but not good. Man. This president guy, Trump, he tweets overnight. Yesterday, he tweets that Iran has just tested a ballistic missile. He does this because he sees on TV something released from the Iranian state government or something, a video of a ballistic missile taking off. Trump gets on his tweet and he says, Iran has just tested a ballistic missile and is working with North Korea. Where do you get that from? Where do you get this working with North Korea thing? What are you doing? You're something's wrong with you. You made that up. He tweets it out. People react to it. Come to find out, Iran did not test a ballistic missile. That's just video footage. There was no test. Trump tweets things out before he understands what they are. And on top of it, saying that North Korea and Iran are working together, there's absolutely no hint of that. It just doesn't exist. And Donald, if you open your mouth about fake news one more time, we will all play this little adventure that you took us through yesterday. You tweeted something as fact that didn't exist. And that's fake news. And that's what you do. And then you accuse other people of doing it to cover up the fact that you do it. Whether you're totally delusional or not, you're a dangerous human being who happens to be sitting in a position that can cause a lot of crap to happen really quickly. Then, as if that was enough, this President Trump, he tweets this out yesterday. He blames the fact that we still have Obamacare and that all the health care bills are not passing because of John McCain. Donald, John McCain doesn't vote for these stupid little health care bills because they're little health care bills that are stupid. He has a responsibility not only to his state but to his country to make sure that whatever is replaced with Obamacare is better. You don't just obliterate Obamacare because it was from a previous administration. Those are for political reasons. You do something like this because it's better for the country than what we have. And these bills are not. And these health care concoctions are not. So McCain says, no, I'm not going to vote for it. Trump, in his tweet, says that because of John McCain, we're going to have no new health care system. You bet it's because of him. Because he needs something better than what exists for the people of the United States, Donald, not for political reasons, so you can sign a piece of paper. And by the way, the president has never come up with his own health care plan. He said he would. He never did it himself. He said he could write one up in a second. He never did it. He doesn't even know what's in this healthcare plan that's being proposed. He has no idea. He just wants to be able to say, I got rid of Obamacare for political reasons. We don't do things in this country purely for political reasons. We do it because it's for the better of the people. That's supposed to be the way this goes, Don. Do you remember way back when Trump was running for president, what he said about McCain? Do you remember? He says he doesn't think McCain was a great war hero. He says he respects soldiers that don't get captured. Donald, you don't know the true story of John McCain. The man's dying anyway, and for you to go after him is despicable. And he's I can't even. Anyway, Joe Scarborough used to be Republican. He's one of the hosts of the Morning Joe program. And he kind of put it the best of anybody.
So why ask? Who raised these people? Who have they become that they would boo a man who is fighting for his very life?
And it's certainly.
Now, he's referring to these Trump rallies that go on, and the last one just a few days ago at this Trump rally. He's already president. He doesn't know this. He's still holding rallies. He's at this, just so unbelievable. At this rally, he's referring to John McCain. And whenever he mentions John McCain's name, the audience, the people in attendance, boo John McCain. They boo him. Just because Trump said something negative about John McCain, they boo John McCain now. This is what rallies do. Anyway, we continue with Joe Scarborough's remarks.
So why ask? Who raised these people? Who have they become that they would boo a man who is fighting for his very life.
And has served the country for
and
decades.
Has served this country in uniform, who is a prisoner of
war. For this country.
Who was actually told, you know what? You can be released from prison because your father's really powerful. He's a powerful man. And so just walk out of the prison, go home. You can be reunited with your family. We'll stop beating you. We'll stop putting scars
starving
on
you.
Your back. Go home. You will be freed. And John McCain said, for those of you booing John McCain right now and are too ignorant to read a book, John McCain said, no, I'm not going to go home until all my men go home with me. You should keep your mouth shut and you should go home and you should talk to your children and you should tell the story of John McCain to your children, a man who served his country in uniform when he could have done what Donald Trump did. He could have avoided the draft. His father was one of the most powerful men in America. He could have stayed home like Donald Trump, and he could have chased models. But John McCain wanted to serve his country. And you know what? Even serving his country when he put the uniform on, John McCain could have hid behind enemy lines. But you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to fight communism. And so he flew mission after mission after mission into North Vietnam. And when he got shot down, and when he got beaten, and when he got abused to such a degree that the man can't even raise his arms up to his shoulders, he got thrown in prison and he refused to leave. Because John McCain said, I will not go until every one of my men go with me. Do you have the character to do that? Well, actually, if you booed John McCain, you've already answered that question. Someone has failed you in your life, and you need to examine that. If you still go to church, you need to pray for yourself this Sunday morning in church. And then when you get your head screwed on right and you start putting humanity ahead of politics, against of stupidity, against of the tribalism that is destroying this country, then go home and tell your children the story of John McCain and what he did when things got tough and how he put others ahead of himself, ahead of his safety, even ahead of his freedom, ahead of his life. And if you can teach your children that lesson, maybe they will grow up to have a little more character than you. And if that is the case, then maybe there will be hope for this country yet.
There's no question in my mind that it's time for people in this country to rally together. Whether you kneel in front of a flag when you're playing football, whether you voted for somebody or you didn't vote for somebody, it all doesn't matter anymore, does it? What matters is, this is the time for all of us to come together and say, no. No more of this stuff. Let's get on the right road. No more division. Let's get it together and do it now before you can't do it.
Corridors rust. Once proud and truthful, now humbled and bent. Fires which burn brightly, now energy spent.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants.
Really?
Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Okay, let's try to do a regular show now, huh? Well, I mean, obviously that's my opinion. We thank NBC for that clip, and also that's musical group Procol Harum for the music that followed. And there you have it. Okay, as long as we started talking about healthcare, let's continue, shall we? There's a lot of things about it I don't understand. I do think that there's a lot of Obamacare that is not good. Like anything, you can't produce something perfectly immediately, and I think it needs to be tweaked big time, especially in the area of price control. People cannot afford the Affordable Care Act. It's ridiculous. The premiums are absurd. As a matter of fact, struggling working class families are having trouble with their donation premiums to whatever health insurance they've ended up with. I also don't believe that it should be mandatory anything in this country should be mandatory as far as that's concerned, certainly. It's mandatory that you have insurance on your vehicle when you're driving. It's mandatory you don't drink and drive. It's mandatory you pay whatever taxes. I get that. But mandatory to have health care is a little bit odd. Although when you're driving a car, it's mandatory to wear seatbelts. So I guess it's not that odd. It's just another thing in our society that we're mandated to do. And mandates kind of concern me a bit in a free society. In any event, the premiums are ridiculous. I've talked about this so many times on the show. And in the Obama thing, there is basically no control over premiums. You can basically just... And as I mentioned also, this new health care bill that Lindsey Graham are putting through, which isn't necessarily going to happen. Everybody is covered. But if you had a pre-existing condition, you probably will have to be covered, but at premiums that you cannot afford. Doesn't mean they can't charge you like triple or quadruple or an amount where you can't afford to get the kind of coverage you need. That's not in that bill. It also allows for certain states to have exemptions while other states cannot. It's just a mess. And I never understood why one has to sign up for health care only within a sign-up period of, what, 2 or 3 months here? I never got that. Why can't you sign up for health care or change health care anytime you want? Why does it have to be within a certain time frame of 2 or 3 months every year? What's that about? It doesn't make sense. There are a lot of things about the Obamacare that need to be tweaked and need to be fixed. Why people don't sit down and just fix that thing, I don't know. Yes, I do know, because it's a political thing. Whose name is going to be on the Health Care Act? Whose campaign is going to be able to say, I did this, I came up with something better? You make campaign promises to completely eliminate Obamacare. Now you can't just make it better. You have to eliminate it. And by the way, stop calling it Obamacare. It's the Affordable Health Care Act. Stop with the Obama thing. That's also political. He didn't come up with that. People tagged his name onto it. Trump would like nothing better than Trump Care. That way he can have an orgasm very quickly every time someone says that. It's all political. You really should be really upset in this country. Every citizen should be upset that they are being politically manipulated by politicians, by the president, by presidential campaigns, by the Russian government. We are all being used like an old cow, and I have no idea what that phrase meant. It just sounded right at the time. We are all being used for other people's wealth and personal gain. We're all being used. It's time we all stood up and said, no, no more stuff for political reasons. Now only stuff for people and humane reasons. And stop intimidating other countries and making these threats and these little bully pulpit things. Enough of that. Let's do some good now. Let's bring countries together instead of separating them apart. Let's bring our citizens together instead of finding the divides and separating them and causing commotion. The reason this happens, the reason that people try to divide things, the reason that politicians try to divide people, is because that way they can gain control. Knock them down and then pick them up your way. Knock them down and then pick them up your way. That's disgusting. And that's what's happening. And we all need to say, no more. It's going to take a long time to repair the damage that was done in this country politically. No more. Stand up, will you please? Get some brains. Think it through. So, let's continue talking about healthcare. It is time to sign up to choose healthcare. Again, why it has to be a particular period of time, I do not know. I do not know. I don't work there. But it is time to choose. And let's do that now. Hey, Robin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, Robin. Thank you so much. Robin Gelbert is founding president of Fair Health. And we're talking about your medical care and how that can actually make you sick in itself, which is an interesting way of putting it, but it's absolutely true. Now, I talked about this on the show yesterday. Healthcare is kind of like the most important thing ever. When you have a sick child or a sick loved one or you're not feeling well, you know, you're not operating and your world falls apart. It's so important. And yet, it's so confusing all of a sudden. What can we do about that?
Absolutely. I mean, this really plagues everyone. It is just a very Byzantine system, and regardless of levels of education or sophistication, everyone is really intimidated by and made anxious by health insurance information. So what our goal is at Fair Health, you know, we're a national, independent, not-for-profit organization, and our mission is really to diffuse that confusion and really put a welcome mat out for consumers and patients so they can really understand the healthcare system as they navigate it. Really, in effect, give them the driver's ed they need so that they can really stay on the road and not create any casualty.
Yeah. Well, that's a good analogy. So what are some of the strategies? Because it's hard to even create a strategy when I don't know what I'm doing.
That's exactly right. So one of the first strategies is to get the vocabulary you need to advocate on behalf of yourself. Right. Understand, you know, sort of basic terms, you know, copay, coinsurance, what even a premium, deductible, even those basic terms, it's amazing how many people are not equipped. And that's one of the things that we offer is really a clear glossary to give you that fundamental understanding. Then not be intimidated with that information. You can now start trying to access cost information and really try to plug in the pieces that fit your benefit design so that you're not surprised. I mean, the whole goal is to eliminate surprise, to understand that you can be outspoken, you can be an advocate and engage with your plan and your provider, asking them specific questions, and really learn what those questions should be. We provide some examples of things you can ask, and as you become more confident with the information you learn, you can really start becoming, in effect, the star of your health insurance play, as opposed to back in the chorus line. You know, we don't want people to have to improvise. We want to give consumers a script to really help them work through these very complex issues.
Here's my confusion, personally. There are too many choices and too many combinations. It's like going to buy toothpaste in the pharmacy. There's toothpaste, and then there's extra strength, and then there's whitening toothpaste, enamel protection toothpaste, cavity fighting toothpaste. I don't understand which to go for. I kind of just want toothpaste. Why are there so many different choices and so many different things when everybody wants the most coverage they can get for the least amount of money?
I agree. There is, you know, too much choice, and too much choice can actually not be liberating, but it actually can be confining because you get paralyzed. But it's interesting you talk about sort of toothpaste and different varieties of products. One of the things we try to do is, in effect, almost provide the nutritional information on the box so people can read and understand what they're buying. Mm-hmm. And what makes our site particularly unique is that we power our site with our billions of healthcare claims. We have the largest data repository in the country of private insurance information. And we're completely unbiased and, you know, conflict-free. So the information we provide can be trusted. In effect, it's sort of the pure cream, that nutritional ingredient that you can understand as you look through this site, get information that you can trust and that you can use to then read the labels of your other health plans.
So what you're doing is you're actually providing the thing that we're all looking for, and that's guidance in a way that we can understand it. Because we want to make sure we're making the maybe we're making a choice, but we don't know if it's the proper choice.
That's correct. And I think for too long, cost transparency and transparency of health insurance information was deemed to be, you know, problematic, and people were sort of too paternal to consumers, saying they won't really understand it, mm-hmm. and employers and plans were sort of making choices on behalf of employees and consumers.
Yeah.
I think people recognize that it's a win-win-win if the water level rises for everyone and everyone is brought along with sort of an educational foundation,
yeah.
so that, you know, people are making sort of the best choices and eliminating that really unpleasant surprise.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is I have friends that have just turned seniors and they're doing the Medicare thing, and they're very surprised. They thought Medicare was something completely different. They thought that when you reach a certain age, you don't have to worry about all that stuff anymore, and the government pays for all of it, and you don't have to make any choices. You're just on Medicare, and that's the end of it. But it's not the way it is, apparently.
No, it's not. Medicare pays for a good deal of your care, but not all, and that's why you hear about, you know, Medicare Advantage or other supplemental
yeah.
plans that allow you to add to what the government is providing as, yeah. as a safety net.
So choices there, too, even.
Absolutely. The choices don't end, and that's why it's really, you know, it's fascinating. We did a consumer survey around the country, and more than 75% said that as early as high school, and if not then at least in college, people should be given information about how to select insurance and how to navigate the health insurance system.
Yeah.
It's presumed that people, you know, they're just let go after college or after high school
uh-huh.
with no background, no understanding.
Yep,
and
yep.
again, it's like being put on the road in a car, giving
yep.
those keys to the car without any driver's ed at all.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a perfect analogy as well. Why is everything just for a small mirror of time every year? Like, I think it's between like September or October and December. Why can't someone just change their policy any time during the year?
Well, there is, as you say, there is an open enrollment period, and that may be an opportunity for plans to identify who their member population is, and that helps them design
okay.
what their premiums would be. But there are events that allow you to enter into insurance during the course of the year at any time
mm-hmm.
if you have a changed circumstance, whether it's a divorce or
right.
a death in the family that may have been a primary insurance holder. So there are a number of events that consumers should be aware of that might allow them to enter in at outside
oh, okay.
that open enrollment period.
Oh, so if I want to change my insurance policy, all I have to do is get divorced. That's pretty cool. Okay. How many times?
That may be a bit extreme.
Okay. Well, it's one of the only ways to do it. Okay, so how do we take advantage of this advice? Where do we go?
So I would recommend that people go to, if you're in New York, you can go to youcanplanforthis.org. If you are outside of New York, we service all the other 49 states with fairhelpconsumer.org. And on that site, you can find really rich cost information about how to manage episodes of care. So, for example, if you have a chronic condition like
yes.
asthma or diabetes, you can see what your annual costs may be.
Okay.
And we have videos and we have resources and a lot of educational content to really help you start really filling in the script of your play, if you will, as you star, you know,
yeah.
in your insurance drama.
Interesting. Okay, you know, in most cases, your monthly insurance premium is more than your car payment, which is weird in a way. And I know that at times some people's rents are less than their premiums. So that we need guidance here to figure out how this can be done properly, and best coverage for the least money, I suppose, is the way that goes. Okay.
And absolutely, and
yeah.
you may have heard about high deductible health plans too, where consumers are digging deeper into their pockets, and
yeah.
our site gives you the information you need to manage those deductibles.
Yeah, it's very important. I have some friends. It's amazing that I have any friends, by the way, but I have some friends who who have their auto insurance is like really, really cheap, and then something happens to them, they find out they're not covered. Or it's like a $5,000 deductible. So it's not always, you know, you got to dig a little bit deeper sometimes to figure that out. Again, can I have the two places to go, those listening who are in New York and those who are outside of New York?
Sure. In New York, you can planforthis.org, and outside of New York, fairhealthconsumer.org.
Perfect. Thank you for your time today. It was very much worth it to speak to you. Robin, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap?
Yes, I am.
Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Well, I guess I need to apologize to you for being so serious today. I usually do a comedy show. But today I'm not. I don't know. I just got very concerned all of a sudden.
Whoa!
Yeah, big deal for me to get concerned,
whoa!
Huh? You would rather laugh, wouldn't you? Or maybe you'd just rather boo John McCain. I don't know. Or maybe you'd rather I hold up a puppy dog.
Aww.
Or maybe you'd rather play every single sound effect that I have in my library.
Oh.
All right, fine, good. Okay. I guess that was just a warning that I have these things, and I will play them if I have to. All right, so don't piss me off. Anyway, I usually do a comedy show, and I do apologize for being somewhat serious, but every once in a while, It's just cathartic. Do you talk to yourself? I don't. I don't talk to myself. I wonder if I don't talk to myself because I don't listen to myself. I don't listen to myself. Hey, top of the morning to you. I don't listen to myself. No, I think that might be the reason. If I talk to myself, I may not be listening, and that would be rude even to me. I know people that talk to themselves. They ask themselves questions. If you watch television, you'll hear some of these people. They're very fascinating people. They interview themselves. They do. You'd be in conversation, and you'd be talking, and the person will say, "Why don't I go to bed early? Well, because I've got a lot to do. Why do I have a lot to do? Well, because I'm a very busy person, and I have a lot of hobbies. Why do I have a lot of hobbies? I like to keep myself busy. I find that I'm more relaxed when I'm doing something. Why don't I drink more often? Well, there's really no reason that I don't." And the other person says not one word. This guy's interviewing himself or herself. That's the way they talk. It's interesting, and that's a form of talking to yourself. I'll never forget the first time. You know the cell phone thing. We all have cell phones. You know the cell phone thing, man? It's a thing now, the cell phone thing. they had the cell phone companies had invented the wireless earbud things, so people could talk on their cell phones without, you know, wouldn't see a wire sticking out of their ear going down to their pocket, whatever, when they're talking on the cell phone. They're wireless. And the first time I saw this, I was walking down a main street in a nearby town. And I saw this very attractive young lady on the other side of the street talking very loud And there was nobody in front of her. There was nobody beside her. There was nobody in back of her. She's just having a conversation with herself. And I thought, this woman is freaking nuts. A very attractive, nuts person. Usually people that are nuts don't dress so well. They're in pajama pants, or their clothes are torn, or, you know, or they're carrying a bag or pushing a shopping cart. You know, they usually don't look too good, the people that talk to themselves. But this woman was very put together. She looked like she owned a company or something, and yet she's talking to herself. And then I had learned that she was on a wireless device, and she was talking to somebody on the phone without any wires connected. And I didn't know that. Now I know that. So now I don't know if somebody's crazy or they're talking to somebody wirelessly on their phone. And that screwed up my entire balance. I can't tag people. I don't know if they're crazy or highly technologically advanced. I have no idea. And it bothers me. Little things like that bother me. But I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Will you join me then? I promise I'll do a normal show. Well, that's not a promise. It's a campaign promise is what it is. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. I really do.